Hello, and welcome to the Community Mennonite Podcast. This week, Rebecca Stutzman delivered our sermon.
Listen. Early this morning, in the call to worship, Jennifer encouraged us to listen. Up on the mountaintop where the disciples are, God speaks. Listen. So if you feel yourself drifting in your own thoughts this morning, pay attention to them. Listen. Because maybe God is speaking to you. Listening is a key posture, one that children learn over time, and sometimes they rebel against having to listen. If you're a parent, you know that sometimes even you just want to get your kids dressed and out of the house, to have them listening can be a challenge. But if you say, listen, and you're really strong with that, your kids know, okay, now it's really time to listen. If you're a parent, you know, listen up means really pay attention. Also, if you're a teacher and you tell your classroom, listen up, it means something important is happening. So in that scripture this morning that Ted has interpreted for us, in Luke 9:28 through 36, the transfiguration story, you can have that in front of you if you want, and we can come back there in just a little bit. But that transfiguration story does not happen in a vacuum. There are key things that lead up to this mountaintop, and I will take a little bit of time to look at that. Because see, what happens before the transfiguration is intimately linked with the disciples having to learn to listen, to do as he says, the rabbi. But furthermore, they're having to rely on who Jesus is, Jesus the living word. Listen to him. What builds up to the transfiguration is that Jesus, the rabbi, practices a listening posture with his disciples. Chapter 9 starts out with the sending of the 12. They hear Jesus saying to them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. This is a crazy time. The beheading of John the Baptist was real. No staff? What? Who listens to such words at that time? I think for Peter, it hasn't even sunk in at Gethsemane, another time when the disciples are overcome by sleep. And for us in Europe, that scripture often also has not sunk in. We have not learned to listen. Come with me for just a little bit on an excursion to Europe. Think of the post-Christian Christendom church right now. Our defensiveness, our baggage, all the security and the prunk, we call it in German, all the beautiful golden things inside the cathedrals. We have built that up over centuries. What if Jesus is saying, leave it behind? Leave the staff, the bag, the money, and furthermore, leave the bread, your inability to accept hospitality by others. Don't take the bread, at least not at this time. We got good bread in Germany. Leave it behind. For me, that scripture is so central to the ministry we are involved in Germany. Living in Baumenthal, in the community where Andy and Megan are right now, I have taken that scripture very seriously. I have tried to pay attention to where I'm invited into relationships and where hospitality is offered to me. There is a friend I got to know. We got to know her at an English-German speaking gathering, or also called Stammtisch for the ones that know the word. And I met her again on the street as I was on the way to the pediatrician office. I had just given birth to our second child. The second child was just 3 days old. And I met her again on the street. We started talking, like mothers do, about all the things that then evolve around what is current. And she also just had given birth 2 months ago to her fourth child. So we were starting to talk about this soup that in many cultures you get brought to you and that helps for your lactation and that you're strong to nurture this child. Her husband is from South Africa, so she knew about this custom, and I had learned about this soup while we ministered in Los Angeles at the Indonesian Immigrant Church. Time was running out. I had to really go to the pediatrician office because in Germany you are not late. So we shared part of the way, and then we said, okay, we're gonna meet again and go on a walk. But already this lunchtime, after I was home from the pediatrician office, she came by and brought me this soup. So there was this big sign for me of hospitality, being invited into a friendship. A friendship where we started to go on walks every week with our strollers, and we started talking about everything in her life, all the down moments, all the highs, but also she shared about how she's not that religious. But she would be interested in what I would preach on a given Sunday. Over time, our friendship grew. And then there was a time she got really sick, and she told me, I know you have been praying for me. There we had time to talk about faith. A little over a year later, I had given birth to our third child, and my parents-in-law, Janet and Linford Stutzman, were coming to visit, and she knew I was getting a little bit stressed getting the house in order. Your in-laws coming after all. And she wrote me this text message saying, Jesus loves you even if your house is dirty. A sign in a post-Christian context where faith is growing. This happens when we are willing to leave certain things behind to be received in relationships. See, as a church in Europe, we have built beautiful walls, giving shape to gigantic cathedrals, but they hinder us to be accepted into relationships. We want others to conform to who we are, but guess what? Jesus has moved into the neighborhood. He was not born in a palace behind walls. He rarely even spent time inside the walls of a temple. He accepted hospitality where he was accepted in. Jesus also instructs you, do not need the extra tunic. Stay authentic. Never give up who you are in Christ. That shirt leave on. You don't have to be a naked Anabaptist. In other words, live incarnational. Be authentic in Christ, and you can put on an extra shirt of the local community around you. May it be the soccer jersey or scrubs or you name it. See, the disciples were to learn to listen in all aspects of life, even the daily needs, to lean on who Jesus is as he instructs them. Prior to the Transfiguration story, we read about the feeding of the 5,000. They are learning that when Jesus instructs, they are not left hanging. They can learn to rely on him. And guess what? There was enough, more than they asked or could wish for. They even can share more as still more broken bread is left over to pass on to others. Wow. Listen to Jesus, who is the bread of life. Listen to him. This is my son, God the Father urges. See, the disciples had to learn who Jesus really was. And Jesus asks them, leading up to the transfiguration, who are the people saying that I am? And who do you say that I am? Often we end up getting so preoccupied with what others are saying. Jesus challenges us, who do you say that I am? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory of the Father and the holy angels. These are strong words leading up to the moment on this mountaintop. Think of it as a drama. A drama exaggerates to make a point. Jesus encourages, do not get preoccupied with what others may think. In an increasingly post-Christian time, to not be ashamed, but rest in who he is. That can be a challenge. Abide in who I am. I am the truth and the life. I am the way. I am the bread of life. I will give you water so you will never be thirsty again. Wow. So as the disciples are quite tired, they are up on that mountaintop. They have heard Jesus' words. Whoever wants to follow after me. Jesus is kind of dead serious. He wants them not to just hear him and do it once or twice, as they have practiced in their sending that we read about in the beginning of Luke chapter 9. He wants them to listen, to embody a lifestyle, to follow, even at a time when he will not be among them anymore, when he himself will be lifted up in a cloud back to heaven, and the disciples might be fearful of what is to come. In this scripture, the disciples experience a little heaven on earth in the midst of a cloud, where they cannot see or foresee what is to come. It is there where God speaks to the disciples and also to us. This is my son. Listen to him. Listening changes everything. Rely on him, abide in him, rest in him and who he is, even if you get tired as you are now. Listen to him. The theme of listening continues after the transfiguration. If you keep reading, so it says, listen carefully in verse 44 to what I am about to tell you. Listen. So wherever you feel tired, as the disciples were up on that mountaintop, tired of whatever the cause may be, listen. Rest in what Jesus says and who he is. This kind of rest goes beyond self-care. Rest is missiologically important because we participate in what God is doing. Thus, rest in who Jesus is in this world and who he also wants to be in your life. As you nurture others, teach others, serve in the local community, and participate in being sent in Jesus' name, may you experience his faithfulness. May you continue to learn to trust the faithful one, to rest and abide in him, the living word, who still speaks. Let us listen. Amen. So this morning, to let this sink in, I have brought a song along. The song is called Your Faithfulness. It's by Brian Dirksen. And I will express it through an interpretive dance. And it's supposed to give a chance for you this morning before you have to rush off to prepare lunch or get ready for the Super Bowl party. Or even your busy week ahead, to have this time to let God speak to you, to rest in His faithfulness, listen to His promises, His instructions, because in the end, we can see His faithfulness. As you sit here this morning in the clouds of witnesses, where you might want to build a tent, listen to Him. As He has sent you not to build only stability, especially as you build and rebuild this church building, don't remain only inside because it's getting so cozy and the restrooms are so amazing and fancy that you might never want to leave again. God has given you this space from which to be sent out weekly. But here in this space, let yourself be reminded on a weekly basis that God says, "This is my son, listen to him." Trust in his faithfulness, personally and as a church community, in all parts of life, and at the end, you will see his faithfulness. This is what the song will entail, and you are invited to participate in whichever way you like. You can close your eyes, you can reread Luke chapter 9 that leads up to the transfiguration story. You can also, however, be moved through the movement of the song of resting in who Jesus is. God says, "This is my son, whom I have chosen."
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.